Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Bonnie, will you do the roll call, please?
For the City of Morro Bay, Mayor Janice Peters. Vice Mayor Melody Demerit.
Here.
Councilmember William Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Betty Winholtz.
Here.
Councilmember Rick Grantham.
Here.
And for Cayuga Sanitary District, President Robert Enns.
Here.
Vice President Nat Raimondo.
Here.
Director Hal Phones is absent. Director Bud McHale.
Present.
And Director Shirley Lyon.
Here.
Thank you, Bonnie. With that, we'll open the meeting to public comment.
Good evening. My name is Marla Bruton. I'm from North Morro Bay. I have recently been checking the Morro Bay video inspection of their lines, and we have pretty much a failed system. And I also understand that Cayucas, their system is probably as bad or worse than Morro Bay's. So what we're having is we're having exfiltration that goes into the soil. And with the high nitrate levels that Morro Bay water wells have been experiencing so that they're found non-potable, I believe that the nitrates that are going into the soil from the leaking sewage pipes are affecting our water quality. We need to do something about that, and we need to do something about it as soon as possible. Also, the location of the wastewater treatment plant, it needs to come off the beach, in my opinion, and in other opinions of people who are knowledgeable about the climate change that's coming, or it is happening. We have 1 to 3 foot climate change in the next 50 years if we go cold turkey right now on greenhouse gas. And the ice doesn't melt in the Arctic. So, and if we don't do something, there could be up to 20 years sea level rise in 100 years. Coming to that, our location of our plant on the beach, I believe, needs to be moved for safety reasons. Our fire chief in Morro Bay had an opinion about selling property in the cloisters at the corner of Coral and San Jacinto. And one of the reasons that he thought that it wasn't the right place for a fire station is that he took into consideration the 100 and 500-year floodplains as well as the tsunami inundation zones when he recommended selling the property. So this is something that's serious, and we can be proactive, and we're at a position right now to do something very worthwhile for the community, and I hope you'll consider that.
Thank you.
Honorable Board Members, Joey Riccano with the California Ocean Outfall Group, dedicated to ending all waivers of the Clean Water Act. I once again congratulate you on your recent success in finally casting aside the exemption that allowed you to dump some of the dirtiest sewage in the nation. And now I call your attention to something else, another drastic problem that we are facing in Morro Bay and Cayucas, as well as state parks. We are dealing with crumbling infrastructure. Now, take a look at this right here. What you have here is this is a example of a crumbled infrastructure. As you can see, this conduit is not going to be any good. And recently what happened was some citizens and officials took advantage of the filming that had been done of the inside of the pipes in this area. And this is no exaggeration. This is a good facsimile. What that means is that we are in danger of continuing the pollution of our groundwater, and in fact, it is possible that Morro Bay, Cayucas, and state parks are as big or bigger of a nitrate polluter of the groundwater as the septic tanks are proposed to be in Los Osos. So I ask you to take an urgent look at the crumbling infrastructure, and the reason why is not just environmental, it is also the economy. It's a financial issue because the costs involved now are probably a lot bigger than you are going to be ready for as far as with the upgrade in the wastewater treatment plant. I would concur with the recent speaker about the problematic location of a wastewater treatment plant being down in the low spot next to the water. And this is because during storm events, you will use the ocean as a overflow for raw sewage. That is a problem. I think our otters are still in danger. I would ask you to take a strong look at going regional with Los Osos, and I would also like to refute the myth that Los Osos is in debt and that that would be a problem to anyone. The reality of the situation is that, according to the Ocean Protection Council, Los Osos is the key to funding for any projects on the Central Coast. If you're not on board with Los Osos' regional project, you're not going to get too much help. And also, and most importantly, Los Osos is the only community that is in a position to get a loan over a long enough period of time to bring the monthly payments down for communities. And I think right now you have a responsibility to your constituents to be fiscally responsible, and I hope that you will take heed of this information. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you, and once again, thank you for getting rid of the dreaded 301H waiver.
Richard Sadowski, U.S. citizen, North Morro Bay. I'm a grade 4 wastewater collection system operator and a fluid dynamics test ops engineer by profession. This board is well aware of the fact that I have personally taped and analyzed several miles of the Cayucas collection and conveyance system and was made quite aware of the dilapidated infrastructure that exists there. Currently, Marla Jo and I and others are volunteering our time to help Morro Bay's public work staff determine the failing infrastructure that poses the most health risk to the most citizens. This work and the reports are to follow. In order to solve this health risk, it is believed by many that a regional solution is the answer. Since we all share a coastline, and I'm sure several of you have read in the paper today, there's a beach closure again on Studio, and it's to do to sewage. Now, we have leaching raw sewage into our groundwater and into our soils and into our neighbors. We need to address this issue. It's a priority. And it is my opinion that this board should vote for an emergency building moratorium for Cayucas and Morro Bay until a solution can come to the table. That solution, in my opinion, would be the Blue Carpet Water Treatment Facility Plan. It would fix the infrastructure in Morro Bay and Cayucas, tighten it up. It would address a small pipes collection system in Los Osos, and then it would be a regional solution similar to Petaluma's that they have in the wetlands restoration. This system would be ideal because right now what we have that's different than we had a couple years ago is a state marine reserve. And this is a way that we can protect the state marine reserve. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one else, we will go to item A on the agenda, which is our consent calendar. Would anyone like to have any item pulled for discussion?
Are you speaking to the whole board?
Yes.
I would love to pull all three.
All right. We'll do them one at a time then. Let's take item A1, minutes of the June 27th meeting. Betty?
I just need to let you know that I found three spelling errors, and they were corrected, but I'm supposed to bring it to your attention. And I don't know if you want to know where they are necessarily or just know that they've been corrected.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments on item A1?
Yeah, I have a comment, if I may.
Okay, please.
I think that these minutes form a public record of this process. And I guess when I was reading the minutes today, I was a little disappointed on page 2 and 3 at all the questions and not answers. And it's just a style of how you do the minutes or take the minutes. You can see there it would be easy if the flood impact evaluation would include sea level rise. That's just yes or no, just to add on the answer or just put the answer there. So I would just suggest that for our minutes, as a public record, that they put answers and reflect answers that are given to the questions more than just putting the questions.
All right, any other comments? Seeing none, a motion would be in order for approval of the minutes of June 27th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Cayucas, Mayor Peters.
Move approval of the minutes with the spelling corrections.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I do apologize for being late. I was watching a clock with a battery that had died. So sorry.
No problem. Thank you. Next item, A2. Betty, did you want to start on that?
This is the basically the monthly reports that Mr. Keough makes and then presents to us when we meet. And I had a question about on page 4. Just a kind of a clarification. You mentioned three different batches of composting that you're doing, and the ratio of the waste to the green waste is different each time. And I'm just, could you clarify why it varies like that? Is it the quality of the green waste, or I got anywhere from a 1-to-6 ratio to a 1-to-4 ratio?
The ratio a lot of times depends on what green waste we have available and how we're trying to maximize our composting ability.
Mm-hmm.
The state of California, in their statewide general discharge requirements, that covers composted biosolids as well as all forms of biosolids. The real key for them is a dry weight basis that I don't include here, and it has to be more than 50% green waste by dry weight.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of look at a ratio both by volume and by dry weight. And we would prefer to really have more green waste in the more green waste we have, actually, the it's a better recipe, but we're able to kind of juggle that recipe depending on what the conditions are.
Okay. I thought it might be that, and so you probably have a minimum standard, then as much more as you can get. Okay. And then my second and last question is for the month of April, and the BOD on that dropped down into the 70s, down to 74% range. We tried to hold it around 85. Do you know why it dropped 10% that month? Or at least once during that month?
You're looking at the removal rate?
It's the first paragraph under month of April.
Sometimes it'll depend on what the BOD is coming into the plant. Like if we have a lower BOD, like let's say it's a 250, and we end up with like a 50 going out the door, it's harder, the lower the number, the harder it is to get a high percentage removal rate. And sometimes we just have numbers that for that particular day, you might see a higher BOD, like we might have a 70 going out the door for that particular day. It's well below permit limits, but it just is what it is. And we really do try and shoot for the maximum removal rates that we can get. And I could certainly go back and look at the records and go through the logs and probably give you a more detailed answer, but that would be my off the top of my head, that would be my response.
Just to make sure I understand, there was a smaller load and it was a drier load? That it was smaller?
You could have had, instead of a 420 coming into the plant that day, you could have had a 280. And the numbers vary. I think you'd have to do some sort of statistical correlation to really pin down what the true number is. We've looked at, from the facilities plan, we've looked at a lot of years and gotten average numbers, but we do have deviations from that.
And when we fall below that 85, do we get penalized?
No, actually, our permit requires that you only remove 30% of the BOD. That's part of the 301H permit, is that you have a lower standard for that BOD. And they recognize that in the open ocean environment, BOD is not as critical as it would be for like a creek or a lake where you have an enclosed mm-hmm. body of water.
Mm-hmm. And so is that 85 our personal standard?
85 is the federal standard for full secondary treatment standards.
Okay. Thank you.
I had a question on that one, too. On page 2, the very top of the page, there's four times where you have power failures. Was that something, you know, our fault or the power plant's fault? What went on there?
You know, we're pretty much at the whim of if somebody drives into a telephone pole, if a transformer blows up. On all our utilities, we try and when we're having problems like coming down Atascadero Road, we'll call PG&E and say, hey, can you fix this problem? But a lot of these problems are not on Atascadero Road. There's some other outage someplace, and we really have no control. It's more designed.
We're not flipping switches or something here.
No. We have backup power, and the generator comes on, and we continue to operate. But we really have no control over that situation.
Okay. I take it hasn't happened much since July.
No, and some years we get no power outages. It's really just kind of the luck of the Irish, I guess.
And if I could just amplify on the power problems, the backup generators would let us run for an additional 20 hours or so.
What about that? We have a 500-gallon diesel fuel tank at the plant, and I think that we're burning someplace around 12 to 14 gallons an hour. So we have a good, and one of these outages, I think we ran close to 13 or 14 hours. So that was a long run for us. As long as we have diesel available, we could run for days off of the generator power.
Okay, any other comments on that one? You want to move approval on that, Bowie?
I move approval of A2.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No. Okay. Nat, you had a question?
On page 4, the third paragraph, you said that you met with the San Francisco to discuss future regulation of biosolids. Can you summarize the results of that meeting?
Their guess was as good as yours. Really, they're looking at the same regulations that we are, and there's a potential that they may try and use the interim ordinance that's in place right now as the permanent ordinance, because there hasn't been a lot of problems associated. That ordinance is working well, but they're going to have to bring that back to the Board of Supervisors and go through the public process in order to do that. But that's kind of down the road, probably another 2 to 3 years. But the overall biosolids issue, they agreed, is very unclear at this time.
Okay, a motion would be in order for approval of item A2.
So moved. Second.
Okay, motion by Shirley, second by Nat. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item A3, status report on the NPDES permit. Bruce?
I don't know if Betty has particular questions on this. Well, I can summarize it.
Yes, I thought it was important that the public knows what's coming from the EPA and what three requirements they've made of the city and which one we're taking exception to.
The background on this is that at the permit renewal hearing, I believe in May of 2006, I think that's the correct date, the regional board voted 3-3, and they basically continued the permit hearing until U.S. EPA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife could concur on the potential impacts from the treatment plant's discharge on the southern sea otter and any other threatened or endangered species under the purview of U.S. Fish and Wildlife. U.S. EPA was required to produce a biological evaluation whereby they looked at what they thought the potential impacts could be from our discharge. They forwarded that document to U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and they are now requesting formal concurrence with the findings of the document, the biological evaluation that U.S. EPA produced. The bottom line on EPA's document was that they felt that they basically said, based on review of the best available scientific and commercial data, the Environmental Protection Agency Region 9 has determined that the continued wastewater discharge from the Morro Bay Cayucas facility is not likely to adversely affect the brown pelican or southern sea otter. That document was forward to has officially been forwarded to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. As part of the conversations that occurred between those two agencies and between conversations between Morro Bay and Cayucas as well. We agreed to a public outreach program for cat litter, saying, hey, don't flush cat litter, and let's try and keep that going to the landfill or into some other form of disposal. We agreed to some nutrient monitoring programs. So there was a question about algal blooms from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we agreed to include that in our next permit. And then the third condition, our conservation measure, as they deemed it in the in both the letter requesting concurrence and the biological evaluation, was that the treatment plant would be upgraded to full tertiary treatment by the year 2014. We responded to US EPA and indicated that while we, the district and the city, have agreed to upgrade the treatment plant to full tertiary treatment as part of the upgrade project, we took exception to including that condition in the permit. We did not agree to that condition, and in fact, regional board staff was concerned as well, because there's nothing in the California Ocean Plan or the Clean Water Act that mandates tertiary treatment for ocean discharges. And they have a limit as to how high a standard they can put on those discharges. So in, I believe, last week, we received the document on September 7th. The letter requesting concurrence and the revised biological evaluation was forwarded to U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and in that document they changed that language to say facility upgrade to at least full secondary or tertiary treatment by 2014, and that satisfied both city and district staff as well as regional board staff. And the last thing is that there's a time frame. U.S. Fish and Wildlife now has to respond to U.S. EPA. My understanding is there is not a time frame on that response. There's no clock that says you have to come back in 30 or 45 days. U.S. Fish and Wildlife has basically an open-ended time frame in which to respond. So it could happen in 2 weeks. It could happen in a year. And we'll just have to keep kind of monitoring what's going on.
Okay. Any other questions, Betty? Matt, comment?
Just a quick question. When you sent this letter off to the EPA, which was a great letter, did you also send along the document from the marine research specialist, which really draw a very good argument about why this can't be a condition?
Definitely. The letter, we kind of put our letter on as a cover letter, and we included the letter from Dr. Coates as an attachment.
All right. And so we're just now waiting to hear back from them.
Yeah, now we have to wait for U.S. Fish and Wildlife to come back with either a letter of concurrence or determination, or I guess they can condition the permit, but it could drag on for a while.
Does this slow anything down? Because I know we're about to go into environmental review.
No, I think this does not affect the upgrade process as we speak. Really, it's focused more on the permit process. And regional board at this point, their staff has indicated they're patiently waiting for those two agencies to kind of resolve their issues and then move forward.
Okay, I would like to add, just for the record, this is the letter from marine research specialists, and it says, despite intensive independent analysis, the EPA has found no credible scientific information to support the conclusion that the subject wastewater discharge is a significant source of either toxoplasmosis in the local sea otter population or of domoic acid toxicity. And I just want to say that because we were accused of poisoning sea otters for months now, and I just want it to be on the record that we weren't. So with that, move to approve this A3.
Before you do, I would just add the comment that if you read, and you probably did, the full document, they were hedging because they can't conclusively say one way or the other. And so because there's no test yet. And so I think they were putting on the tertiary requirement just in case. And that they were trying to hedge their bet by doing that, even though they legally, as city staff pointed out, can't do that. So while our consultant says we're not violating, the EPA, I think, is saying we just can't prove it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were trying to hedge to cover that.
Well, whatever. We were being accused of doing it, and nobody has any proof that we were. So I wanted to make that very clear that we weren't. So, approval of A3?
So moved.
All in favor?
Second.
Opposed?
No. I'm sorry.
Melody, second.
Okay.
Okay, Cayucas, approval of A3.
I have a question.
All right.
Bruce, you mentioned about educating the people about the kitty litter and so forth. A few JPA meetings ago, maybe more than a few, I believe it was Robert's wife came in and did a presentation on trying to educate people on dumping pills down toilets and so forth. Are we undertaking any kind of public education mutually between the city and the district addressing?
Start this off.
Sure. This agenda item concerns the draft facility plan, master plan that we have been working on for about the last 15 months. It has been the topic of much discussion at these meetings, city council meetings, sanitary district board meetings. The action that is before you tonight is to adopt the master plan that we have discussed. Some of the topics that we've talked about have included flows and loads, biosolids, different sorts of treatment alternatives, and the two boards, the city council and the sanitary district board, both recently voted to select the oxidation ditch with filtration for a tertiary treatment upgrade and to include partial composting in that project. The facility master plan that's in front of you basically reflects your decision and includes discussion on the other treatment alternatives that were discussed over the last 15 months. The recommendation from the staff report is to adopt this final draft facility master plan and then direct staff to send that document to regional board for their review in case they have concerns or issues that they would like to bring back. The document itself is intended to facilitate the environmental review process and the design process. In my staff report, it includes some of the next steps that need to be undertaken, and one of those is environmental review. We do have money in this fiscal year budget to begin that process. Staff will be working on, I'm presently starting that process, is to put an RFP together for hiring an environmental consultant. I'll be working with the planning staff from City of Morro Bay on that issue. The other task that will need to be started in sometime in the near future is the design process. At this point in time, I'm recommending that we hold off on the design process until the next fiscal year. The City of Morro Bay has some financial constraints based on pursuit of collection system improvements. We've got two lift stations that are currently in design phase, and we will probably be starting to look at the Main Street line running from Vachon to Main Street in Morro Bay, which is a pretty significant project. So, and at the same time, we're the city, I know the district has, I believe, gone through a public hearing for Proposition 218 for rate increases. The city is, we're scheduled to send out a notice of public hearing next week for a public hearing on November 13th, I believe. So our other recommendation is to hold off on starting on that design project, which is probably in the neighborhood of a $2 million contract, until the city can implement their rate structure so that we know that we have a revenue stream to pay for those projects. We do need to forward a copy of this document to the regional board for their review and comment, and I think based on the project that you selected, they're going to be very pleased. I can't see that there's going to be a whole lot of concern from regional board staff if you're selecting a tertiary treatment upgrade. The last issue that I would bring before you is this may be a good time to start looking at cost apportionment and JPA-related items if we're not pursuing the design right up front. Certainly I can get the RFP started on that process, but actual award of contract may need to wait until the next fiscal year, which would be July of next year at the earliest. So with that, I would open it up to questions.
You're first.
Questions from Cayucas?
A couple of questions, Bruce. I had to read through it to near the end before I saw the word partial composting. And up front, if somebody would take a paragraph out of context, all it says is with on-site composting, and I'm wondering if you want to stick the word partial composting whenever you put the word composting in there.
I would, you know, actually that recommendation was made to me, and by the time I could get back to Carollo, we were already publishing the document. But certainly when we, what's going to happen is that as we go through environmental review and design, the original contract with Carollo was actually, the contract was awarded in two phases. The first phase is the document you see in front of you, and we have completed that work on time and on budget. The second phase of that contract calls for any modifications, editorial changes that might come out of the environmental review or design process. And we have budgeted money for that portion as well. I believe it's $35,000 or something. It's less than the original contract. But when we go back and finalize this document, we will take any of those suggestions and try and incorporate them.
Okay, another thing. At one point in time, I think we mentioned, but I don't know whether we ever followed through on it, the subject of doing, accepting...
is being hauled out of, say, Los Osos, North County, is all going to Santa Maria. So right. I'm sure that Regional Board would support that concept, and my understanding is that the ditch is flexible enough in its design that it can take septic waste and still function properly.
Is that a design issue that should be looked at, though? I mean, you know, I don't know how much is generated by that kind of thing, and maybe Carollo has an idea from communities similar to our size and so forth about how much of an impact that could be. Is that something we can sort of put in the back burner, you're saying, to look at?
I think some of those issues are going to be tackled when we get into the design phase.
Okay.
That's kind of my understanding, is this is really the planning phase of it. And as we get into the environmental review and or the design phase, you're going to see some tweaks to the plan we have here.
My last comment is that I guess I understand what you're saying about waiting because you have some budget issues you have to look at and some high priority projects. But, you know, we've been under a lot of criticism to move out as fast as we can, and we've been trying to keep the wheels rolling on this truck. Are we going to be coming to a standstill until sometime next year when the Morro Bay fiscal issues get resolved?
My understanding is that we could start the environmental the review process, and that once you get to the actual permitting process, our staff is under the impression it would be good to have both the design consultant and on board at that time so that the permitting process doesn't constrain the designer and the designer doesn't constrain the permitter, but that the preliminary environmental review we could kick off.
So the wheels are rolling.
We'd still keep, we'll try and keep the wheels rolling.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from Cayucas? Seeing none, Mayor Peters.
Okay, Morro Bay, questions? Okay.
I saw her
region. Oh, okay.
I don't know that I have questions, although on the environmental review, you do say here that depending on the complexity, additional funding may need to be allocated in the future. And I think all of us hate those words. We have the money for the environmental review, but it may. How strong is that word may in your mind, Bruce?
You know, this is, you're getting into an area that starts to stretch. It's a far stretch of my expertise. I think Bruce may have. I think it depends on whether you have to do a full-blown EIR, or whether you can do a less intensive environmental process. And I think as we get through into this RFP process, I think you're going to have a better idea, depending on what the consultants come back with in their proposals.
Well, I would think that Mr. Stringfield from Carollo might know that a plant of this type or modified upgrade requires a full-blown or partial environmental review. Or Mr. Thank you, Mr. Ambo.
I'd be happy to try and answer this. I was just talking to an environmental consultant that does these kinds of EIRs. And what we had decided to do was put it out and let the consultant give us their opinion of what they thought was an adequate environmental document. Generally speaking, he said that if we were able to stay within the fence line, he thought we'd be able to get by with a more abbreviated environmental document. or if we even had to go to a more thorough extent, we could perhaps do a focused EIR. But we were going to kind of leave that, put it out and say, you know, give us your opinion. You're the professional. You do these. You see what the project is. Tell us what you think is the best fit, the most appropriate environmental document.
Then a couple of comments. First, this notion that we're delaying it all. I was treated to looking at some of Morro Bay's sewer pipes the other day and was actually quite surprised. So I'm quite pleased that we're deciding in our city to prioritize fixing that collection system, because I think it needs to be fixed ahead of the plant. I also note in your report, Bruce, that it says despite this slight delay, the design process would still be more than 2 years ahead of schedule. And that's true?
I believe that on the time schedule, when I triple-checked it when I wrote this, is that you're not supposed to award a design contract until September 2010. Now, that's based on a very that would give you a much tighter time frame because it's going to take, I don't know what the design is going to be, 12 to 24 months, so it's going to push you farther back getting to construction. But what I was trying to emphasize there is that we are ahead of schedule and that we've made a lot of progress in this last year to get you to a point here where we can kick those other tasks off as we're able to and both from a tech.
And in the minutes, you'll see there were at least four things that we were to talk about, mostly had to do with the TMLs and the chlorination, sludge. From a previous note up in the minutes, we see we're supposed to talk about odor. I know from our agenda of that meeting that we talked about at least all of those, and maybe not odor, but at least all of those. However, we don't have minutes from that meeting. It was 2 months ago. I have no idea what the answers were to those questions. And this body asked the technical group to come back with that information, so I'm not sure how that fits in. If we're just going to go on faith that we addressed those correctly, I didn't take the time to go back and look at the tape. So I'm feeling a little frustration about knowing how and where to fit that kind of technical information in with the whole group. And is that something the body is supposed to bring back or staff should bring back? I don't know.
I have to plead guilty to that one. It was just an oversight on my part that the minutes didn't get put on. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, somebody kind of mentioned that, and I kind of went, ooh. Mm-hmm. That was just me. It just went right over.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it, and I apologize.
And I understand that, but do you have any answers in your head to any of these questions that we did address at the TAC meeting?
The one I remember the most would be the trihalomethane question and the fact that there is a potential for flexibility built into the design so that if you wanted to change to a disinfection technique, that issue could probably be addressed in the design form that you're going to have when you get into the design issues. The other issue was that from an ocean discharge standpoint, they are far less. Regional board and regulatory requirements are far less stringent for the ocean than they are for drinking, than inland surface water bodies such as creeks or lakes, because of the means of how one gets one into their body, and basically it's either eating fish that's been exposed or drinking the water, and that's really where those two things come from. The other one is that an inland surface water such as a creek, there is no dilution credit granted to the discharger, whereas in our outfall, they recognize through a mathematical model that water is being diluted as it's being discharged. So you get a little more flexibility in your permitting standards there as well. And I think there's going to be more information as time goes on those issues, and we're just going to need to keep following what's coming out of the scientific world on that.
Is that the topic that involved the ultraviolet as opposed to the chlorination?
That's correct.
And so you're saying we can look at that later?
That's correct. I think you can look at I think the chlorine contact tank, you have the potential to modify that design as you go farther down the road, and I think that's part of the design process is as you get farther into it, you're going to get more specific on what you're actually putting in. What you're getting in this document is really kind of a a paper plant saying this is the project we propose, but it really doesn't have the nuts and bolts details that you're going to see coming out in the next step.
Okay. And I honestly don't remember if we talked about odor or not. And can you refresh my memory, or do we need to have that discussion? Or I know it was a concern.
I don't remember what the conversation on odor was. I'm sure it came up in that process, but I don't remember what the final conclusion was.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, Chairman Enns, I'd like to follow up with a quick question. Understand it was a minor oversight. Are there notes somewhere out of that meeting, or are they just gone?
Oh, no, there's minutes. Minutes were taken of that meeting, and they can certainly be brought back at the next JPA meeting.
I would suggest that if you could do that, or because of the questions that Betty has, maybe you could just get them together at your convenience and just email them to all of us so we have them, if that's acceptable to everybody. So at least, because I'm sitting here listening to Betty talk, and I haven't a clue what we talked about at that meeting, and I was there, but it's been a long ago, you know, time that I just, you know, I would love to see, because I know we had some serious discussion. I just would like to be refresh my memory.
Well, I think CSD staff took minutes at that meeting, and she's over there nodding her head,
right,
saying that we can probably get those distributed to everybody.
And on another quick point,
we will bring them back for approval at the next JPA meeting.
That's fine. I'd still like to see it ahead of that if we can, though, if that's convenient with the district. On another quick note, I do think that we probably ought to sit down and discuss openly again the agreement.
Okay. Rick, did you have any comments?
Not on this.
I just had one raised, and I don't know if it's related to the facilities, but it had to do with the rate increases that we're going to be experiencing. I think Cayucas is going to be experiencing as well. So at some point, whenever it's proper to talk about that.
In what context? I mean,
is done. We need to adopt it as a resolution at our next meeting. We do have some money in reserve that we could put toward the design process, but we have not had that level of discussion yet.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Any other questions before the public hearing part?
Okay, with that, we'll... Bruce?
One other comment, just so that the both boards know. At the diagram that's showing where the oxidation ditches go in this document, we're still kind of kicking around the exact location of where the ditches would be located. There's a number of choices as to where the ditches can go. They could go in the trailer park. They could go to the east of the plant. In this document, they are placed east of the plant. That may or may not change depending on what the city is planning on doing right now. The city is planning on doing a courtyard facility plan to look at the needs of the desal plant, the maintenance divisions that are currently housed in the courtyard, how ditches going into the east of the plant would affect that, and my understanding is that the next city council meeting, that item will be on the agenda for award of contract to RRM in San Luis, so that they can help us facilitate that conversation and to ensure that the desal, the maintenance people, the collections people, and everybody gets their needs based on the current land owned by both the city and the JPA. And then we may have to do some discussions between the city and the district as to how to cite all those things and who owns what. But the city is looking at that issue at this time. So we'll have more information coming back to you in the future as to the impacts of putting the ditch in location X, Y, or Z.
That brings up another question from me then, because you said if we stay within our current footprint, the EIR may not be as involved as if we extend outside of it. So is that being considered as well in looking at those locations?
I think when the consultant's on board, we will be having those discussions.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll open it to public comment.
Good evening. Marla Jo Breton, North Morro Bay. I would strongly urge the city of Morro Bay to take a serious look at the Joint Powers Agreement. That agreement was written to be utilized in the last upgrade of this wastewater treatment plant. We're now embarking on a second upgrade of that plant, and I believe that we are not doing ourselves any favor by not going back over that. I believe there's a lot of information and the way that that's written, that the city of Morro Bay, the ratepayers, have been paying a lot more of their share than they should have been paying for all these years. As far as the collections system goes, in Morro Bay, it's in bad shape. In Cayucas, it's in bad shape. Cayucas Sanitary District only has one job. The city of Morro Bay, we have fire, police, water, you know, parks. We have a lot of things to take care of. Cayucas Sanitary District has one mission, and that is to maintain and operate their collection system in the best available manner. They have extra money they've been socking away for about 13 or 14 years instead of keeping up with fixing their sewer system, which is failing. They've been saving money. And I find that offensive. And I hope that other people in the community and in Cayucas find that offensive. The JPA needs to be gone over again. Maybe our city attorney isn't here today, but he's commented before that he didn't think that we needed to look at that, and I strongly disagree with that. I've presented a report to the Morro Bay City Council about the JPA and financial implications to Morro Bay, and I hope they'll be looking at that and doing something about it. As far as the TAC meeting, I'm wondering, is this a subcommittee? Is this what you call your subcommittee meeting? So now it's a TAC meeting. And is there a place on that TAC meeting for experts in the community who actually know what, and if the dioxide doesn't do its job to the culture, what you're doing is putting this in and hiring. I have a fear that hiring the nitrate level that is coming through the effluent. So I would ask Cayucas to look into that, and I don't know how that, I haven't gone into how that corresponds with the, are you still using ferrous oxide at the plant?
Yeah, we're still using ferrous chloride, excuse me.
Yeah, okay, so I'm just very interested in, and I'd like to know how long Cayucas has been using the dioxide, if someone could tell me that, and it needs to be looked into. We have a serious water pollution problem. All of Morro Bay wells are unusable in the Morro Valley, and the Chorro Valley is spiking radically. There is a severe problem here.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Richard Sadowski, citizen, North Morro Bay. About a couple, 3 years ago, I was trying to address this air quality problem along North Morro Bay. We were getting continual conflicting reports on where that odor was coming from. And after doing that study, I had put in a H2S meters at numerous manholes along North Morro Bay from Yerba Buena down to about Island Street. And I, what happened is the H2S levels during pump cycles will go right off the meter. It didn't even, it went past what the meter was capable of recording. This is a serious problem, okay? We have an old collection worker that used to work in Cayucas. He's got cancer, esophagus cancer. And this is a, you know, it's a serious problem not only to the collection workers, but also to all the citizens. We were getting numerous amount of complaints during especially summer months and low wind months along those homes that run in the front there. And I think it should be taken very seriously. H2S is a very big problem here. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comments? Any comments from the Cayucas Board? Any from Morro Bay?
I'd like to state why I'm going to vote no on this. I'm going to vote no because I feel like we've looked at a facility plan in isolation, and it hasn't been in context. For example, what does it mean to be able to stay inside the footprint of what the current plant is when we had another presentation that would, or option that would have definitely kept us inside, and this one has the strong potential of taking us outside, causing the repercussion of a different kind of EIR, what to do about the floodplain. We haven't had that report back yet, or if there has come back, I haven't seen it. So I feel like we don't know the ramifications of this particular plant, and so I'm not fully satisfied that we've chosen the best plant. It's kind of a cookie-cutter plant to me. We've seen it in Pismo. We've seen it in other places, but is this one that belongs on the beach in the middle of a RV tourist center type of situation with all these other things around it? And so I don't feel satisfied yet, and so I will be voting no.
Other comments? Yes, Bill, Melody? Yeah. All right, well, I will be definitely voting in favor of it. I think that we've had every kind of presentation we can have. We have the location. We have a time limit now as well. And I think we need to keep moving forward on it as efficiently as possible.
Okay. I'd just like to make one final comment. I'd like to thank Corollo Engineers, David Stringfield, and Tracy Clinton for the job that they've done for us. They've led us through the forest. We don't suppose that because we're at the edge of this forest, we can see where we're headed. But thank you, David, very much for a nice job. With that, I'd like to ask our staff, Bill, do you have any final comments you'd like to make? Mr. Carmel. All right. With that, I'd recommend that we make a motion to approve the final draft of the Facility Master Plan.
So moved.
Motion by Nat.
Second.
Second by Bud. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
May I hear a motion approving the plan?
So moved.
Second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
4-1.
That's helping me. You had specifically four items that you brought up. Would you like to mention those?
They were just really informational. I was recommending that the board approve the fourth quarter invoice. I was just pointing out that we were quite a bit under budget, which was good, but I think there's some reasons for that in a lot of sort of classification, changing in assets from expenses to assets. So I was just trying to point out, and there also I would think would be, and this would be a question for Susan, I think there's probably some finish-up work, some adjusting entries, some of the larger insurance classifications had nothing put to them, so it's probably subject to change, and it may have been a very preliminary, pre-audited invoice. So I don't, unless you have specific questions.
I have a specific question. This is the fourth quarter invoice, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Will there be another invoice?
Susan would have to answer that. I think typically what happens is once the audit is done, then we oftentimes will get a supplemental invoice that cleans up, you know, post-audit with all the adjusting entries, and that's usually the procedure. So,
okay.
Yes, I would think we would have a balance invoice.
Bonnie, mm-hmm. Have you and Susan, there's some of the points you brought up in your memo. Have you talked to Susan about these yet? Have you gotten together?
Partially, yeah. But this came very late,
yeah, okay,
with the packet, so I was more.
But the process would be that you would talk to her,
sure,
about it and get a,
sure,
resolution,
sure,
one way or another.
Right.
You'll agree to disagree or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to point out that I'm anticipating we'll see another invoice that this one's probably doesn't include a number of items that you mentioned. And
that's correct.
Once those are taken care of, we'll probably be paying a little more.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Susan, did you want to speak?
It's President Enns. It's our understanding from our auditor that this will be the invoice that's presented. Now, I wasn't aware of some of these issues, so I'll have to take them back and look. But it was my understanding when we presented that this was it. So I'll have to talk to our accounting staff and find out what's missing and see what more we need to, you know, bring forward.
Okay. Have we had the audit for last year?
We have not completed it, but the auditor has completed his portion of the audit related to the JPA.
Okay. Very good. Okay, the staff recommendation is to approve payment to the Morro Bay for the fourth quarter invoice in the amount of $71,947.10.
I'd like to move that we accept the invoice and that we authorize payment.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next item, schedule for the joint meeting. I think we just heard a couple of items that will need to be on there. Bruce, first, the environmental, is it an RFQ that you're going to?
I think we'll bring back some sort of either RFQ or RFP. I'm not sure which one we're doing, but we can bring back something. We can start putting it together and then bring it back for approval by the boards before we public notice.
Okay, and then the minutes from the technical advisory committee, and I agree with Betty that those were significant items that we discussed. I think that we should discuss them as a joint board in total. So we'll see that on the agenda. Let's put it on the agenda as a discussion item, not just approval of minutes. I think we should look at the discussion that we had about the plant layout. I don't know if Morro Bay will be ready to discuss that, but we'd like to be kept up to date on what your thoughts are and what your plans are.
Well, certainly we can keep you apprised of how the courtyard facility plan is progressing. I don't know the exact time frame that Mr. Dylan Wade and Mr. Boucher are kind of spearheading that project, but I know that it's a hot-button item because changes is inevitable, and they have issues with the desal plant that they need to address to make it more efficient, I believe. And so we're definitely on a track to get that stuff done.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce. And the other thing I heard was that Melody was going to mark up a copy of the JPA and bring it back to us.
I don't think that's quite what I said. But I have marked it up about 3 years ago, I think.
Well, I'm glad I got a smile out of that anyway.
Yeah, you did get a smile.
Both cat litter and pills. And I'd like to see a schedule for that when it will be implemented.
Can you go over that last one again?
Yes, it's putting the cat litter and the pill stuff together. And I'd like to see what kind of advertising campaign you or does someone else need to be involved to notice the public, and a time schedule for that.
President Enns and Mayor Peters, right. if I could, I'd just like to follow up on something that my friend Nat asked earlier, and that was about the pharmaceuticals. And what's really interesting about this process that we've been through, we've all learned a little bit about sewers and how to treat wastewater. And I think we can say with confidence and certainty that pharmaceuticals are one of the biggest issues we have because they are so hard to filter. Personally, what I did, Nat, was I contacted Rite Aid here in Morro Bay to see if they could have a program that people could turn in their pharmaceuticals. They referred me to corporate, which is fine. But what they do is they actually take all these medications, and there's a recipe that they do to it to make them inactive, and it ends up being a gel. So it takes a little bit of a little bit on their side, a little time, a little money to do this. But what I would suggest is maybe find your pharmacy in Cayucas and see if they could have some kind of a program where people there could turn their meds in. I'm still going to follow up with corporate on this to see if there's something we can do to get people to turn anything rather than to flush them, because that's a huge problem. So good luck with that. Maybe they'll do it as a community service for you, and that's what we're trying to do here. Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Good suggestion. Maybe we could have some kind of a report on that at the next meeting. Anything else?
How do you deal with online service pharmaceuticals? It's probably more prevalent than purchasing.
It's total pharmaceutical give back. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you get it, what the source is.
Can I just interject for a second? Cayucas Pharmacy, I talked to them as part of our pre-treatment program about a year and a half ago, and they do actually have somebody come and pick up and recycle their old pharmaceuticals or stuff that has expired, et cetera.
Do you advertise? Or do they advertise, I mean?
I'm not sure that they advertise. This was about a year and a half ago before. This was really a big buzzword issue, but I just thought I'd add that.
Is that for the public, Bill, or is that just for what they purchase from the pharmaceutical companies?
I believe it's just for them.
Yeah, my understanding is pharmacies in general return expired medication and get a credit back from the manufacturer. So Rite Aid is doing that internally. Whether they're willing to do it on a community-wide basis, I'll talk to regional board staff again. When you people violate their discharge permits, they pay a penalty. And one of my recommendations has been that they take that money, and you can do a supplemental environmental project, is they should use that money to fund Bring Your Drug Back Day in local communities, because I think what they'd find is the response would be overwhelming. I mean, I really think in the beginning it would be overwhelming. But the Integrated Waste Management Authority has a hard time getting permitted for that because there's a lot of narcotics involved in that. And so there's some red tape, and I've tried to push that button before, and I've kind of let it fall by the wayside. But I will speak to regional board staff again, because regional board may have the money to help make that program work, and it would benefit water quality throughout the region. So I'll raise that subject again.
And Madam Mayor, can I make a comment? Mm-hmm. I would suggest not just talking about human pharmaceuticals, but animal pharmaceuticals as well.
Melody, you got one?
Yeah, I would just like to clarify as a follow-on Mr. Callahan's comment, Bruce, that Cayucas and Morro Bay should be working cooperatively on this advertising thing that you'll bring to us next time, since I actually didn't know that Cayucas had a pharmacy, and I'm happy that they do. But I think we need to be advertising in both jurisdictions, and so you guys should probably collaborate.
Yeah, we're usually pretty good at working that stuff out at staff level.
Okay. That it on agenda items? Okay.
Very good. Then any other comments? Seeing none, then we'll adjourn the meeting.
No, we have to set a date.
Pardon? Do we have a date for the next meeting? Do we know when that is? Bruce?
Depending on the items listed, it really doesn't matter to me at this point. I mean, we don't have any. To me, there's nothing time critical on this, because it's going to take probably 6 weeks to 2 months to pull the RFP together and get some of the other information requested. We have been on a pretty tight monthly. We can work through, or you see items that we need to talk about. At this point, I don't think at a staff level there's any pressing need. Maybe the JPA agreement, that might.
Well, you do have the four. Topics that were brought up earlier, and if they haven't been resolved in the minutes, then I think the committee should probably meet on those items and try to resolve them and present a committee report on that at the next meeting.
Well, maybe what we could do is circulate the minutes, let individual council members and board members look at them, and then say, hey, I think we need to have a meeting, or we don't need to have a meeting, and does that work?
All right, very good then. Then we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right.